So this is the developer news from Chariot Solutions. We normally do this in a only podcast version. We're doing the same thing, but we figured we'd try live streaming just for the heck of it this time. So we're completely self-conscious around this. All right. Jason, question for you.
Yes.
What just happened in the Java community in the Springside? Bunch of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's we're going to do a short one today, but there's definitely three things at least, right? So the first thing is Spring 3.1 went live, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now Spring 3.1's been in pre-beta release candidate for like a billion years now, for like since the summer.
It's the configuration abstraction. I remember that was announced at Spring 1 last year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of this stuff's been a long time coming.
It's been in the works for a long time. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, I'm looking at the big hits here on the blog. Let's see here. Let me see if I can throw the link over for everybody. No one's on it yet, but hey, you know. Mm-hmm. Blogspringsource.org. Well, anyway, if you go to blog.springsource.org, I wish I was faster. If you have that, you could paste it in the chat, but that's okay either way. But anyway, biggest things there, I think the environment is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many other platforms, especially Rails and things like that, they have the dev, test, production, named environments, that kind of thing. And that's going to be nice for developers, right? What else is on here? Caching abstraction now, so you can swap in different cache types.
Yeah, that was really nice. I didn't even see that coming until the final release. And that's something, you know, I do all the time where basically it's like, I just need like a, you know, concurrent hash map or something. I just don't want to recalculate some values. And, you know, rather than get rid of all that boilerplate code and just have it be an annotation.
Yeah, it is really nice. It's just at cacheable, and that's very cool.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like now they've got things like at enable, I guess, for the environment. That's a new annotation. So, like, for example, at enable if you're in production, that kind of thing. I could see kind of combining that with, like, Maven filters and profiles, for example. And so flip the profile, and then you have things on. Mm-hmm. But now you don't even need that. You just pass an environment in and say – we're in production. Boom.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. Also, apparently, they've got the Flash object now in the servlet, which is really a nice feature.
Yeah. You know, for the longest time, that was in like every Spring web app example app, and I put it in every app I'd build. You know, so yeah, I mean, even the app I'm working on right now, we have that in there. So it's nice that it's actually baked in now. You know,
yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely.
You know, copy and paste all that code. It's yeah, it always felt a little dirty doing that.
Well, we also have the Servlet 3, so that's kind of cool too. So they've got this web application initializer, and you literally don't even need web XML anymore.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd seen that too when I was going through the release notes, and that's really neat. Yeah, I mean, it's nice not to have to search all your XML file for all this stuff.
I think they started looking at some of this and said, you know, Spring has been growing and growing over time and encompassing more and more. And they've always done it traditionally, you know, by adding additional config elements. And I guess they're trying to step back a little and take advantage of some of the auto config stuff.
Because
that's one of the biggest complaints you'll hear from new Spring developers. Like, where do I start? What do I do? You know, let's see here. And then also they've got things like package scanning and JPA persistence objects without even needing persistence XML, which is kind of nice. So you have to go through and configure anything. And of course, the biggest thing there is Java 7, right? The fact that they're going to support Java 7. So that's pretty big.
Yeah. And there were some, specific, I don't have the blog post up here in front of me.
Actually, yeah.
But, they had some specific things that with Java 7 they were supporting that,
yeah, let me see if I can find some of that stuff.
No, it's buried in the blog by the Grails news. But
let's see here. Okay.
Yeah.
Java 7 theme. JDBC 4.1 gets auto-detected.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And then also for fork join pool.
Oh, that's right. That's what I was thinking of, yeah.
That's
I
mean, a threading pool kind of thing.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I mean,
MapReduce-ish.
I haven't looked at that one yet. I mean, I know the other abstraction Spring has around, like, the thread pool stuff is pretty nice. I mean, you see it one place right now. It's it's real nice. If you need futures or something, you have like a concurrent pool
right.
of things.
Yeah, actually, so concurrent, it's Java util concurrent fork join pool, and lets you submit things to provides the entry point for submissions from non fork join class task clients. This looks interesting. So yeah, I think it might be similar to like a MapReduce kind of concept. We'll have to try to find someone to talk about Java 7 in an upcoming TechCast. That'd be good. All right, so that's big news. So you want to download official Spring 3.1. I'm sure, Rue, because I'm writing the book and I'm almost done, it's got to have an update. So I'm hoping by Rue 1.2 they'll support Java 7 and Spring 3.1, but I'm thinking it's probably a release beyond that. But still, big news. But also big news is Grails 2, you just said, went live, right?
Yeah, basically just about 15 minutes ago, they announced this breaking news. They announced Grails 2.0 is final.
That's great.
I've worked a little bit with Grails 2. There used to be a plugin for resources where it'll put all your CSS and all your JavaScript together and make it really easy to include on a page. So if you get a whole bunch of jQuery, the jQuery JS file and all the associated plugins, you could just basically create a single bundle. And Grails will put all this together for you, give it a timestamp on it. So if you change any of your JavaScript files, it won't go to the cache. It will actually go pick up the new ones. So really nice if you're building like a high performance web app and you need you have to minimize the number of requests you're making.
That's a big deal. Yeah. Actually, yeah. I mean, it seems like a lot of the frameworks have started to do that. So actually, Rails 3.1, that was their big thing, was the asset pipeline, they call it. Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing. Spring actually has had it in the resources servlet for a while, but you had to put things in the class path and configure them. Probably similar, but it's good to have that. Let's see. Oh, they have a new console UI. That's cool.
Yeah. I've used it a little bit. The thing about it is, I guess I've just been using Grails for so long. It's like I go into the console UI, but I'm still typing Grails, Grails run app or Grails clean or, it's not in the console. You don't have to type clean or something. So just get used to that. But it's nice once you're used to it.
Greatest Groovy 3.8. I'm sorry, 1.8 Spring 3.1. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So they support 3.1 right out. I'll have to take a look and see on the GitHub for Rue where they're going with that. Some stuff updated in GORM, detached criteria. Mm-hmm. So kind of getting closer to what you can do in JPA and Hibernate, I guess, for that. Multiple data sources. That's cool.
Yeah.
It'd be nice on a Java EE platform. Maybe you could do two-phase commit with them with the transaction manager. I think it could. You would think.
I think so. Yeah.
It'd be nice if you had that kind of use case. Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. So there you go. You got, Grails 2. That's at grails.org. And let's see. And you said Heroku released something too?
Heroku, on the heels of the Grails 2 announcement, Heroku announced, and they mentioned this at Spring 1, which was, basically you can deploy a Grails app right now. Now you could do this before because they have Java support on Heroku, but you had to, jump through all these Maven hoops use the assembly Many plugin things. Or something. Yeah. Basically a whole lot of magic involved. So it looks like it's just got native support right now. So, I haven't even had a chance to take a look at this.
I'm looking at it too. So it's on blog.heroku.com. So if you were curious, it's, basically today on the 15th? I don't know what date it is even. December 15th. And, it's right here. It's an announced public beta for Grails application development. Heroku is support for 1.3.7 and 2.0. So they timed it right after the release of, the Grails announcement. So that's very cool. In fact, they have a little sample here.
It looks just like the Rails support where you just go git push Heroku and,
I love it. I'm so glad. This is really a big deal. If you think about it, like that whole free instance Heroku stuff, a lot of, it's very simple to throw a Rails app up there for free. Now it's just as simple to throw a Grails app. So that's really cool. Good news there. Great job on that team. All right. Let's go to some other news here. So let me pull through some of the stuff in here. Peter Ledbrook on VertX. That was that this time?
I just sent that. Yeah, that was a talk. I think it's from, there was a Grails conference in the UK. I forget which one it was last week, but, Vertex was something I saw at Spring 1. A guy, Tim Fox, he seems to be the lead dev, on that, but it's like an event driven, non-blocking IO framework for the JVM. So, and they're looking to be like a polyglot language. So, if you go to the VertX, GitHub page, they have, examples in Java and Ruby. This was Peter talking about how to implement it in, Groovy. So,
okay.
I think a lot of examples go, blow up, but, it's something I've had my eye on.
Worst. So. Yeah. What's the worst, right? Cool, though. That's great.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's like a 40-minute talk. That quality's all right. I mean, I basically just had it on while I was doing some other stuff, but it was something I've had my eye on because, I like looking at Node. It seems like a pretty interesting project, and that, you know, the same paradigm exists on the JVM and in a lot of different languages. Seems like a pretty neat idea.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm going to throw one more your way right now. Sprout Core Amber.
Yeah, Yehuda Katz, who's going to be speaking at ETE, I think, again this year. Last year he talked about Sprout Core, but they, I guess, forked. Sprout Core itself seems to be this giant widget library. It's a little overwhelming if you need to work with it. But they pulled out some stuff that's more like a backbone style MVC model for your client. So basically what you do is your server sends JSON back and forth on your web page, then you're rendering templates or rendering pieces of your web app.
Mm-hmm.
Looked pretty interesting. I mean, I've looked a little bit at Backbone and Spine's another one. It seems like there's just an explosion of JavaScript frameworks right now, but this one seemed pretty interesting.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Hold on a second. I'm just updating our stream as we're learning how to use this tool.
I don't even see the stream here, actually.
Yeah, I changed it, unfortunately. It looks like when I went to share it on Facebook, it gave me a brand new link to embed.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Looks like it even gave me another link to embed. I'm so confused right now. All right. Well, anyway, hey, if it doesn't work, we'll try it next time. But all right. Well, we're running down.
I mean, I see it on your screen, but on mine,
The streamer. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they give you new ones every time, but anyway, so it's...
Oh, there it is. You click the Watch Live button at the top.
I get it. Okay.
Okay, so I was just there. It wasn't streaming it. I guess which is kind of nice. So.
Right. Well, anyway, hey, you know, people will be really confused by me right now. That'll work. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me go back to my Twitter starred, because unfortunately I have not been keeping pace with everything. Let's see. There's a nice blog post from the Neo4j blog. It's 11 days ago that this came out. It was Heroku, Neo4j, and Google Spreadsheet in 10 minutes flat. So, you know, Neo4j, the, I guess, hierarchical object-related database
graph.
Graph, yeah.
Well, there's no SQL. I get them all wrong.
Yeah. We had him out at one of our mm-hmm. spring talks a while back, and he's always been a good friend of ours. Mm-hmm. He goes through a walkthrough. He creates a Heroku application, does the Neo4j add-on to Heroku, which I guess is a way of installing that database. He takes the Twitter data. Apparently there's a Twitter data dump that you can grab, like a sampling of the Twitter stream, and throws it into the graph. Builds a custom Ruby app around it. And he has the code in there, and it's sitting on GitHub if you want to look at it. Off of Neo4j-examples. And then looks like he does some queries, connects it to a Google spreadsheet, and then builds a bar chart to see, you know, basically all the things that are happening. So if you want to play around with the database, take a look at some of the queries you can do. You can take a look at that blog. Kind of cool. So that's interesting. I really have to spend some time with Neo4j.
Yeah.
Just, you know, because it seems like an interesting one. It seems like you can do kind of the types of join type operations you need to do in SQL. You can kind of go through a hierarchy or a network, get through things pretty quickly. But I just don't really have any experience with it, so.
Yeah. I mean, I did a little – after Peter was here, I worked – that was, I guess, almost 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But I did some work with it. It looked pretty nice. I mean, it's all written in Java. That's the one nice thing about it is you know, basically, so you can embed it or you can run it separately as a service.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, most of the other ones are like, what's it called? C, you know, written in C or
right.
Like Couch, I think. Couch is written in Erlang.
Uh-huh.
Mongo is written in C, I think. So, there aren't many that run on the JVM. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Learn Erlang and go, what?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's nice if you want to, I mean, one nice, like, I always think of, Hudson, that's Jenkins, but, you know, I like the fact that it's like a jar you can just run. Like, if you want to, you know, create like a little program, you don't have to tell someone set up this database first. So, you know, having some, like a product like Neo4j you can embed is, kind of appealing, I think. If you're, you know, working on like a little open source project or something, you don't want to, you know, have someone have to set up a bunch of setup steps just to get your app running.
Right. Okay, let me just take a quick look here. Mm-hmm. I think we're getting towards the end of this one. This is just a quick podcast just to kind of, you know, get a few breaking news items out. On the Chariot blog, which is blog.chariotsolutions.com, there's an article called Groovy Algorithms Shunting Yard, and that is by Joel Confino. And this is talking about building, building operator type of expression operations. And it looks like he's doing kind of an expression kind of solving, parsing kind of program here. But that's an interesting one. If you're a Groovy person, you want to learn how, you know, to program different algorithms in it. He has a particular algorithm there that he has available for you. Let's see what else we have on the blog. Then we have Akka Scheduler. That's back in October, but it's worth mentioning. If you want to look at how to deal with actors in Scala, but you want them to kind of wake up and do things, Anatoly Polinsky put a blog entry out about that. So that's good technical stuff as well.
You know, speaking of that, I saw at Spring One, there was a great talk by Venkat.
Subramanian.
That's how you say it. He talked about showed demos. It was really cool of using the Scala actors and Clojure STD, the software transaction memory.
STM.
He showed examples using that from Groovy. So basically, you can pull those pieces out and use them independently. I guess you could probably do the same thing in Java code. But so if you wanted that, you know, actor functionality, or you wanted, controlled mutability with STTM. Did I say that right?
STM. Close STM. Enough. Close STM. Enough for jazz.
STTM. Oh, that's Do it something
twice.
Else I'm working on.
Do yeah, it twice. Yeah. It's not a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. So, that's a riff. Yeah. That's something else I'm working on right now. It's really neat. Something you can do if you need that functionality, but you don't want to go full into Scala or go full into Clojure. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. All right. Well, the TechCast is sponsored by Chariot Solutions. Mm-hmm. We do great software for our customers. We write things in all sorts of languages, many of the ones we talked about today. And we do a lot of training and mentoring around, internet technologies, Java, Ruby on Rails, mobile, things like that. We are hiring. So if you're a JavaScript front end warrior to a back end integration warrior, and you love working with new technologies, you like going to ETE, you love to speak at ETE, those are the kinds of people we look to hire. So for anything else about that, if you want to get in touch with us, go to chariotsolutions.com/jobs, and we'd be more than happy and interested in talking to you. Also, Philly Emerging Tech, which is phillyemergingtech.com. We're actually open for registration, and we've got several dozen already signed up. We just started the registration about a week and a half ago, I guess. Phenomenal, phenomenal speaker list, including, you know, Matt's, the creator of Ruby. God, there's so many. There's tons. Just go there and take a look.
Douglas Crockford's a big guy.
Douglas Crockford is a huge one. Yeah, the JavaScript ninja, so to speak. Yeah. He'd probably be thrilled by that. Probably not. Just a ton of great people. So head over to phillyemergingtech.com. It's a relatively low-cost conference. It's coming up April 10th and 11th. Please go and get your tickets now, because they're going to sell out faster than Justin Bieber concert in a high school.
We sold out really fast last year.
We did.
And, I think our speaker lineup's just as good, maybe even better this year.
I agree. I totally agree. Every year I pinch myself and say, who are these people to get these guests? We definitely also have Jeff Brown for Grey Hills Camp coming in, a couple Spring Source people. But I mean, just even getting, you know, Matt to talk about Ruby is just going to be a gem. That's going to be fantastic. So you name it, they're here.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. So, we'll put the show notes up on our techcast.chariotsolutions.com site. You can take a look at all the delicious items at delicious.com/developernews/40. And for the Dev News, I'm Ken Rimple.
I'm Jason Gritman.
Have a good week.